Lord, that we still have a long way to go, Lord, and we want to thank you for your faithfulness, that the work that you began in us, Lord God, you will complete until the day of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we just want to this morning once more consecrate and commit ourselves to you and invite you, Lord, to work in our lives, to continue that work unhindered, Lord God. Help us, Lord, not to get distracted, Lord. Help us to remain focused, Lord, on the author and the finisher of our faith. Help us to be Christ-centered. Help us to remember what you did for us at the cross. We recognize, Lord, that without you there is no true life. And without you there is no eternal life. Lord, we need you. We cannot save ourselves. We ask, Lord, that your word would have its full working in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you uphold your word even above your name. Thank you, Lord, that you're always watching over your word to perform it in our lives. So we pray, Lord, that we would grow in our love for your word, that we'd fill ourselves with your word, that your word to us would become the bread of life, that we'd eat from it daily, Lord, recognizing that if we neglect that, Lord, that our spirit man will slowly starve to death. Lord, this morning once more, Lord, come and feed us through your word. Even though we only have a short time together, Lord God, come and stir us, Lord. Come and create in us a greater passion and desire for more of you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can everyone hear me at the back? Everyone's right. Okay. The first scripture that I'd like us to quickly look at is in Romans 8, verse 14. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. I want to encourage you this morning that God doesn't require or expect perfection from us. I think sometimes we bring condemnation upon ourselves. If you had to reverse to verse 1. Of that chapter. Sometimes we allow the enemy to take us on these guilt trips. We condemn ourselves because we feel we're not living up to the mark. I want to encourage you that God doesn't expect perfection. Doesn't say there that those who are equal to the Spirit of God are the sons of God. It's those who are led by the Spirit of God. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to take us from where we are and from where we were without Jesus Christ to where God wants us to be. That is a journey. That is a process. Is perfection the goal? By all means. Will we ever attain to it? Not in this lifetime. But that is what we're heading towards. If you don't head towards, if you don't have a goal to aim at, you're going to miss it every time. We've got a goal that we're aiming at. It's about following Jesus. The vehicle for that is to be led by the Spirit of God. We say yes to Jesus Christ. That is the starting point of salvation. We tell the little children, open up your heart to Jesus. We don't explain to them at the youngest age the various intricacies of following Christ. But you become at that moment a temple of the Holy Spirit. As the Bible says, no one can say Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. You become a temple of the Holy Spirit. And that is your first experience with the Holy Spirit. That is the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. We all want to know, be known as children of God, sons of God. Son is one who inherits. Son has a promise. He has inheritance that he's working for. Son and a slave both work. Son stands to inherit. We have an inheritance. If we are led by the Spirit of God, if we stay connected to God, if we allow Him to take us from where we are today to where He wants us to be, because none of us are today where God eventually wants us to be. We need to be led by the Spirit of God. There's some doctors in the house here this morning, and we've all watched the ER programs and all of these shows that are on, these medical programs. They normally have this phrase that I thought of, that I was reminded of this morning, this phrase when there's a patient who's not doing well and the people, loved ones, want to know how they're doing, and then a doctor, I don't know if we use this in South Africa very much, the doctor says, well, they're not out of the woods yet. Nikkel gebruik ons dit in Suid-Afrika, nee. This is an Americanism. They're not out of the woods yet. Well, let's have that mindset. We are not out of the woods yet, but do we want to get out of the woods? Yes. How are we going to get out of the woods? Our compass and our helper and our strength to get out is the Holy Spirit. He is the helper. He is the parakletos, the one who comes alongside you to help you. We cannot get out of the woods on our own. It's not good enough as a believer in this life. If you want the fullness of what God has in store for you, if you want your full inheritance in this life and the one year after, it's not good enough to just know Jesus. Why is it that sometimes we forget that we serve the triune God, the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? This morning I want to ask you, how's your relationship with the Holy Spirit? Do you acknowledge the Holy Spirit? We do not worship the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us to worship Jesus. And when Jesus is magnified and exalted and glorified, then God is magnified, exalted, and glorified. We come to God through Jesus Christ, but the Holy Spirit is our helper. Why did Jesus say, but I have to go? Why did He say that? He said, so that I can send you my Spirit. And the believers, the disciples, the believers of Jesus Christ, they waited for the Holy Spirit. They waited. They were obedient to the Lord and they waited in the upper room. And then the Holy Spirit fell. From that day, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is on earth. To do what? To complete the work that Jesus began. Jesus Himself was anointed by the Holy Spirit to do what He did. He needed the Holy Spirit. He proved Himself. He was obedient in every way. And He gained status with man. And God released Him at the age of 30 into ministry after He had filled Him with the Holy Spirit, after He had anointed Him for the work that needed to get done. Now, obviously, that's a difficult concept for us to wrap our minds around, because God, Jesus was 100% man, but also 100% God at the same time. But for this morning, suffice to say that Jesus was anointed for ministry at that age. And then He could go forth and heal the sick, cast out demons, preach the message of the gospel. Until the age of 30, Jesus did no miracles. His first miracle, after being led into the desert by the Spirit in order to be tempted by the devil and overcome those temptations, He then performed His first miracle at the wedding in Cana, turning water into wine, saying there's something we're lacking here. wine is so much better than water. Wine is also a symbol of the Holy Spirit in Scripture as well. Celebration, joy, a fullness. Without the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives as believers, we are not enjoying the fullness of God. We're lacking something. Think to yourself, what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, fruits of the Holy Spirit. What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Gifts of prophecy, wisdom, knowledge, healings, faith, miracles, tongues, interpretation of tongues, discerning of spirits. These are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The world out there needs an encounter with the living God to get saved. God's first vehicle and choice is to use us to communicate that, to be that experience for them, to be that vehicle in their lives. And how is that going to come to them? By way of the Holy Spirit's working in and through us. This is what we ought to manifest. The fruits of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we ought to flow in. We're not going to manifest very much of that if we have only said yes to Jesus, but have not asked for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Because there is a second experience with the Holy Spirit. Everyone who is saved has the presence of the Holy Spirit, but there is a second experience. And this is what happened to Jesus, and because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He had the presence of the Holy Spirit, but the anointing God gave him for ministry. It's the anointing that I'm talking about this morning. The power, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. To be able to more manifest the fruits, to be able to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Without that anointing of the Holy Spirit, there will be precious little gifts manifesting of the Holy Spirit. That is, we need that. We need the fullness of God. It's not just God the Father, as the Jews knew. Then Jesus came and he was an offense to them. Now we know God the Father through Jesus Christ as believers, so we've got God and Jesus. But where are we standing in relation with the Holy Spirit today? Are we not today doing the same to the Holy Spirit as what the Jews did to Jesus often? I believe the Holy Spirit is the most ignored person on the planet. The Holy Spirit is a person, it's not some spooky mist. Some abstract thing. He's equal to God, coexistent, co-eternal. And he requires our acknowledgement. And he wants to empower us for service. We have been anointed by the Holy Spirit when we receive that in order to build the church, to edify the church, we read in Corinthians. It's not for yourself. There are no super Christians. Jy weet, ons sê baie keer, ons lief daarvoor om te sê, man, daai ou is 'n groot Christen. What is a groot Christen? What is a big Christian? That's like an insult. That's like an overweight Christian. A fat Christian, it's like there's a Christian that should be giving more because they're fat spiritually. Okay, if you're physically, then you must get into the gym. There's a groot Christian. There are no super Christians. Okay. You know, that guy, you know, he lays his hands on the sick and they recover. That's a big Christian. No, we've all been called to be big Christians then. Okay, so you should actually, if you catch yourself saying that, or if you know people who say that, or if that's kind of a mentality that we sometimes adopt, then we should rather ask the opposite questions, like, why am I not a big Christian? Why am I not operating in the gifts? Why is it difficult for me to witness? Because Acts 1 verse 8 says, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will receive power to be my witnesses. Dunamis, dynamite power. Okay, if it's difficult for us to witness, that's one of the first things, the first functions of the Holy Spirit in our lives is equipping us with a boldness to proclaim the wondrous works of God. So we have to ask ourselves, have I asked for the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Have I asked for the fullness of the Holy Spirit? You know, have I ever come to God with that request? Or have I just kind of assumed, okay, I've got the Holy Spirit and that's enough? Let me tell you that without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, without that second experience with the Holy Spirit, and yes, it can happen simultaneously at the point of salvation, but the evidence would be you don't have problem witnessing, you can operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Okay, so if you're struggling with that, also praying in tongues, everyone knows what that is. If you don't, come ask me afterwards, it's biblical. If you don't have that, we've got to ask ourselves these questions. And they're tough questions, they're difficult questions, but it's important. Without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, without the full package of what God wants to give you, because He wants to give it to anyone, everyone, He doesn't have favorites. There's no favoritism with God. In God's eyes, there's no big Christians and small Christians. There's obedient Christians and disobedient Christians. Without that fullness, we will not receive our full inheritance. We will not reach our destiny that God has for us. Impossible. Maybe you get 50% or even 65% there. You will not get 100% there. When God thought of you, He thought of you as one of His children with the gifts that you were born with, the gifts of the Father that everyone is born with, even if they don't know God. In the office that Jesus appoints you, if He's appointed you in the office, and also with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And He laid out a calling for you, certain people that He'll bring across your life at certain times that He wants you to influence or bless or pray for or heal or deliver or minister to, your calling, which you will not be able to fulfill without the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life. Those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God, will receive their full inheritance. It escapes me now where exactly it stands in the gospel, but in the scriptures, there's a passage that talks about a full reward. Okay, so some of us will not get our full reward in heaven because we have maybe omitted some things. But let me tell you, you're definitely not going to get your full reward if you have not asked for and received the anointing of the Holy Spirit and start learning to and trusting the Holy Spirit to operate in those gifts. Start using it. But the gifts is not for yourself. It's not a gift that you're meant to hide away. Then you don't want the gift. Then you're not using it for what it's meant to be used for. Now, what good is a Ferrari that's locked up in a garage? You need to ride that thing, okay? That's not good enough. We need to start using that gift. Many of us, we've allowed these gifts to go dormant. And even though God, the gifts and calling of God is irrevocable, He doesn't take it back, but we can lose it. God gives you a gift. He's never going to come take it back from you, but you can receive it from God, thank you, and you can go and give it away or throw it away or lock it up in a cupboard and vow never to use that thing again because I just find it a bit weird. Let me tell you that you are a spirit that has a soul and lives in a body. Your spirit is going to go on for eternity, and that sounds a bit spooky this morning. It sounds supernatural. But guess what? That's what we were created for. There's a whole nother dimension and realm that we are created for, the supernatural. We were all called to a supernatural existence. God operates on that plane. God is spirit. Okay. He came in the flesh through Jesus Christ. And then Jesus left again so he could send his what? His spirit. Okay. We've got to acknowledge there's a spiritual realm that we have been called to operate in. Okay, so it's not about this one's super spiritual and I'm just a very practical, pragmatic type of a believer. You know, let me pack the chairs out, that's good. Now, we're all called to pack chairs out. We're all called to serve. But all of us are meant to hear the Spirit of God, to hear His voice and to be led by Him. God is not calling us to perfection. He's calling us to obedience. Are you hearing the voice of God this morning? The utterance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is on earth to direct the church. The church, which is God's first and chosen vehicle of salvation. God wants to work through us. He wants us to be part of His family. He wants to give us jobs. We are sons. A son has responsibility. The son does what he sees his father do. Jewish boys, after their bar mitzvah, they dress like their fathers and they follow their fathers around. Their father's a carpenter, they go and do that work. They learn the trade. Jesus himself said, I only do what I see my father do. He has called us as sons as well, but the Holy Spirit is the one who directs us. We are led by the Spirit of God. How is your relationship with the Holy Spirit this morning? Because there's like five different sins that we commit against the Holy Spirit. We can grieve and quench and ignore, blaspheme and sin against the Holy Spirit. So many times we've quenched the Holy Spirit. Okay, because the Holy Spirit is a person and the Holy Spirit can be grieved. He can be saddened if he talks to us. And we ignore him flat. He's like, go share with that person over there. It's like, not now. I don't have time. I've got something else on. You know. And those other people can wait. God is talking to you now. Is God your priority? Do you live to please God or to please man? Do you fear God or fear man? Don't fear man that can kill your mortal body. Fear God, who will have to judge us one day, and He's a righteous judge, a fair judge, so that if we were disobedient to Him the whole time and ignored Him and rejected Him, He's the one who judges us, and that judgment will determine where we spend an eternity. Who do you want to fear, man or God? Who do you want to listen to? Okay, so are we listening to the Holy Spirit, or are we ignoring Him? Because His voice keeps getting softer and softer the more we ignore Him. And so some of us this morning, we're going to pray and we need to reconnect with the Holy Spirit and we need to repent and say, sorry for ignoring you. God, please come fill me once more. We ask God, and then Jesus is the one who anoints us with the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3 verse 11, John the Baptist said, He will anoint you with the Holy Spirit. Okay. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, He says. So we ask God and then we ask Jesus to baptize us. Some of us just need a top up. If we have already been baptized in the Holy Spirit and there's been evidence of speaking in tongues and doing, operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But we feel, hey, it's not hearing His voice that clearly anymore. I'm lacking a bit of boldness. I haven't been walking closely. I haven't been led by the Spirit. The picture is someone taking your hand. You're following them. They're leading you out of the woods. It's like the chain has been broken there. I've kind of lost contact. I'm feeling like I'm running on empty here. Well, there's a place where you get topped up. You remember the parable of the 10 virgins waiting for the wedding. And the bridegroom comes, and 5 foolish virgins didn't have their lanterns topped up with oil. Their lanterns weren't burning. And that oil, again, a symbol of the Holy Spirit in Scripture. It's a symbol of consecration, that commitment, that dedication, devotion. And their lanterns were empty, and they asked the wise virgins who were topped up, who made sure they were always topped up, filled with the Holy Spirit, alert and awake. What is God saying now? I'm going to obey that. What is God? God can only take you as far as your last step of obedience. So if we stay obedient to the Lord, we'll be like 50 steps closer towards our inheritance than someone who maybe only yesterday started disobeying. Because that person stays stuck at that point. God asks 2 people the same thing. The one disobeys, the one obeys, and he goes a step closer. The one who disobeys stays here. And then 10 minutes later, you know, you're like, God, okay, but why did I have to come here? I don't realize that. Then God says, okay, but I want you to go to that person. Okay, another step. And there God takes you. 5 days from now, you're 50 steps ahead of where you would have been if you disobeyed yesterday. It's a journey, being led by the Holy Spirit. Where are we? We can only go as far as our last step of obedience. So if Jesus were here today in the flesh, and he waves goodbye to us and says, I have to go now. If we were there when he did that, when he ascended, he would have said the same thing to us. And maybe he's saying the same thing to some of us here this morning that have not received that fullness of the Holy Spirit. That was like the last thing he said. It's like, I can only take you so far. Okay, so we all know Jesus here this morning. And now he's waving goodbye and he says, I have to go because I need to send you my Spirit. When you receive the Spirit, you will receive power to be my witnesses. As I said, Acts 1 verse 8, one of the last things Jesus said. Okay, so that's like, we cannot progress from that starting point of salvation without the fullness of the Holy Spirit to take us further. At the point of salvation, we'll go to heaven. But we're not going to be worth much, yeah, for the rest of our days on earth without the help of the Holy Spirit and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Why do we as believers want to do something half-hearted? What's the point? Did Christ do anything half-hearted? No, we need the fullness. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Sorry, I kind of got ahead of myself, but verse 19 says that creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. This is why we have been left behind, to coin that expression, is to carry on with the work of Christ, allowing the Holy Spirit to do it through us. This is why we are not in heaven right now. It's for the other people out there, that they need to encounter the living God. They need to encounter the Holy Spirit operating through you. It's not good enough just to be friendly. There are many unbelievers who are more friendly than us. Okay, they need to encounter God. We should be friendly, right? But they need to encounter God. They need to encounter the power of God. Especially people, there's people in this area, you see them walking around, because they wear it on their sleeves, that are involved in occultic things. And they need more than just a friendly face and even to tell them that Jesus loves them. They need a power encounter with God to prove to them that God is more powerful than the one they serve. And he is more powerful, and he wants to reveal himself as that through you. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are to be desired, Paul says. It's hardly a very good gift if you didn't want it, okay? And God isn't going to give it to you if you don't want it. Because if you don't want it, you're hardly going to use it. He doesn't want to waste his time with us in that sense. So we're going to pray this morning. And I just want to encourage you that I'm challenged by this. That place of continuously making sure that I'm full, sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That where I've grieved Him or ignored Him, that I repent of that. Come back into that place where I take hands with the Holy Spirit and allow Him to lead me. Okay, I need to get back there. So remember, God doesn't require perfection. He requires obedience. The Holy Spirit is key and central in that. Because we cannot obey God or fulfill our mandate in our own strength. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We have called to be witnesses. We cannot witness effectively without the Holy Spirit. We will lack boldness. We will lack conviction. We will lack power. Many people, God has ordained to come to Him by way of a healing or something that happens to them. Because a believer prayed for them. A believer filled with the Holy Spirit. When you read in Acts, when Peter boldly preaches the gospel and 3,000 and 5,000 come to saving knowledge in Christ, always says before the time, and filled with the Holy Spirit, he spoke. Says it more than once. It doesn't just say it in Acts 1, verse 8, or at least when they were filled in the upper room. Okay? It keeps reiterating that fact. It's a place of continual cooperation with the Lord. Continual dependence on the Holy Spirit. This is why it's important to pray in the Holy Spirit, to pray in your heavenly tongue as well, because it just strengthens that connection, that sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Gets us focused, gets us in tune with Him, helps us to recognize His voice. Oftentimes when we're praying in the Holy Spirit, Spirit is connecting to Spirit. We're connecting with God, and He just downloads things. And He gives us words and pictures and instructions. We need that. You need that channel. We're in the information age here. Okay? Like, there's very few people that aren't connected to the internet, at least at times. Okay? If you're not connected with the Holy Spirit, if you haven't received the infilling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you ain't got no internet from God. Okay? Now, I don't even want to make that comparison because the internet, the real internet, yeah, also has every lie known to man on it, okay, and many other evil things. Okay, but you get what I'm saying. I'm talking about capacity and information. I'm talking about a hotline to heaven, right? I'm talking about being a groot Christen, okay, which everyone has been called to be. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we just want to thank You this morning for the gift of Your Holy Spirit. The promise, the down payment of being able to experience the supernatural life here and now on earth, where previously our eyes spiritually we were blinded to that, Lord. We were veiled and we didn't even realize that this realm exists. And we thought that this is as good as life can get. But Lord, You've called us to a higher place, to the spiritual dimension, and to operate in the supernatural, Lord God. You've called us to come up higher now already. We don't have to wait for the spiritual dimension when we die, Lord God. The world needs to see that now. The world is already being fed the counterfeit by the enemy. And they're doing tricks and magic and all these kind of things, Lord God, and occultic practices. And they're being fascinated by it, Lord God. And it's intriguing to them and they're being drawn by it, Lord, because the church can't give them the real thing. But we declare this morning, You are more powerful, and that which the enemy can dish up is the counterfeit, Lord God. What You have in store for everyone, that is the real thing. That goes far beyond what the enemy can do. You are so far more powerful, Lord God. And the world needs to encounter your power. The world needs to encounter the living God. This is not dead religion, Lord God, that we're preaching, Lord God. This is about a living relationship with a living supernatural God. With a spirit God. God, you are so more powerful than anything we can ever imagine. You're so far greater than anything we can know. Father God, this morning we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you've determined and ordained that we be equipped for supernatural life. That we can do what Jesus did by the power of your Holy Spirit. And we know the world needs that. It's not for us to look great. It's for the world to taste and see that you are good, that you have not forgotten about them, that you love them, that you have power to save them, that you have power to heal them, that you have power to set them free from any demonic influences, Lord God. We know and understand, Lord, that your Spirit wasn't just given for a time, Lord God, because today it is needed more than ever before. And you have not forgotten about us, and you have not left, Lord God. And we can testify, and we've seen your Spirit in operation. We've seen people get miraculously healed. We've heard your voice and prophecy, Lord God, directly from your throne room, Lord God. Knowledge that you give us, Lord God, of which we had no prior understanding or knowledge, Lord God. Words from you, Lord God. And confirmation, Lord God. And Lord, we've seen miracles. We've experienced it, Lord. But Lord, still the carnal, sinful mind draws away from that, Lord God. And the sinful mind is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Lord, we want to thank you the same Spirit that raised you, Jesus Christ, is living in us. So it is the Holy Spirit that will also give life to our mortal bodies. And the world is waiting with eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. We know, Lord, there's an aspect there of speaking about our redemption bodies when you return, but Lord, there's also that encounter with the living God that the world needs. The world doesn't need religion. The world doesn't need an empty message. The world needs the message of life, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is not mere words. But there's power in it. There's power to save and to heal and to set free. That is the gospel we preach. And if there's no healing and there's no setting free, then it is an empty promise. But Lord, we know it's not empty. We've experienced it, Lord. But Lord, we want more of that, Lord God. And we recognize that we allow our lamps to run dry at times. And we repent of that this morning, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, come and fill us anew with your Spirit to the point of overflowing. We can only give if we have more than enough for ourselves. How can we give if we're running on empty? But we haven't been called to be victims or just to survive, Lord God. We have been called to serve and to build your kingdom and build your church through the power of your Holy Spirit. We cannot build your spiritual house with physical power, Lord. We can only build it in the Spirit, Lord God, with spiritual enablement and empowerment, Lord God. Seeing your Spirit move through us. The gifts of the Spirit have been given to build the church. So every head bowed, if you're here this morning, if you have never received the filling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you've never asked for that, and you've never operated in those gifts, then raise your hand. I want to pray for you this morning that you receive that. And then a second group, if you realize, but maybe you're running kind of on dry or half measure. You just want to be topped up. You want to just bring that sensitivity back once more to the Holy Spirit. Your desires to be obedient. Just to be topped up. You want that fullness again. You want to chase again after that inheritance, that destiny, that calling that God has placed on your life, because you just want to get out there and love people and serve them. You want them to encounter the living God. You don't want to preach an empty gospel. You want to show that God is alive and that He's here to touch people's lives and to help them. If you want that, if you realize, but you're not full here this morning, you want that fullness, then raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you as well. Yes, Lord, we just want to thank you. We just want to thank you, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit. Won't you pray after me? We're just going to ask the Lord just to fill us once more. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit, that you desire me to have in fullness, so that I may be your redemptive agent in this world, a life-giving vessel for you. Lord, I present myself to you this morning as a living sacrifice. Use me, Lord. So, Jesus Christ, come and fill me anew with the Holy Spirit. I want to be ready when you come back, having been a good and faithful servant, having been a son led by your Spirit, obedient to your promptings. I need that fullness, Lord. Come and fill my lantern, that I may shine brightly, that everyone around me may see that you are good, that you love them, that you know their lives, that you know their brokenness, that you are willing and able to heal. Use me, God. I pray, Lord, that you will prompt me to remain in that place of fullness in the Spirit, of being led by the Spirit. Pray, Lord, that you'll teach me your ways. Help me to desire the gifts. Reveal to me what it is you want to use me in. Manifest the fruit of the Spirit through my life as I stay in the Spirit. I thank you, God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you. It's been great being here with you this morning. Just want to invite you to come tonight if you are able. Pietri, our worship leader, will be preaching his first sermon tonight. I'm very excited to hear what God has on his heart for us tonight. And I'm sure God is also God is turning him into a fiery minister. So it's great to experience first time that these mighty men step out in faith. So please come and support him. But have a wonderful day. Thank you for being here this morning. Unfortunately, we have to rush out as the next church is coming in. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. And remember to be led by the Spirit. Okay? Stay connected. Bless you.